Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys today? It's good. It's finally beautiful outside. We can take advantage of the sun. I know God is good, giving us some sunshine. I think the Redskins are on a bye week. Am I correct with that?
Yes.
There you go. Go enjoy some sunshine. Go meet with some people. Take them out to lunch. Enjoy what God is doing outside. Well, anyway, today we are continuing in Nick's message series of going public. And so today it's all going to be about mission today. And I'm really excited to preach to you guys today. After I'm done preaching, we also got the Erickson family that is here. And there are missionaries that we support, and they're going to come and share with you guys today. So it's going to be really good, but we're going to have to get started. So if you have your Bible, the passage today is from Matthew 5, 14 through 16. And here's what it says. If you want to look up here, open your Bible or a Bible app. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I have titled this message today called "The Story of His Glory." I do believe that we serve a great God, and we're going to pray right here because I believe that God's love is unlimited to this world, that His Bible is unchanging, and the Spirit of God can do anything through this world that it wants to do. And are we willing to do that today, church? Yes. Give me a little amen. Give me amen. Come on, talk with me. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this is your message. This is your word, and I believe that your word can change Fauquier County. I believe it changed me, and it can change anybody here today. So, Father, open up our eyes and our hearts to your story of your glory. So, Father, use this message and use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So in the spring, my wife and I, we bought a thing called a movie pass. And you guys ever heard of the movie pass? All right, a few of you guys. Well, the movie pass is basically something you subscribe to. You get a card, you get an app, and you can go see as many movies as you want in a month. So one a day, go see as many movies. That used to kind of like be how their business would operate. And so we can just go to a movie and see whatever we want, anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter. Anyway, it's kind of changed a little bit because we love stories. That's why we go to the movies, because we love stories. Every single one of us are drawn to a good story. Stories change our life. Stories are inspiring. The Bible is filled with stories. And so we love to go see movies. It's a billion-dollar industry that is surviving on stories. However, after we started going and seeing these movies, what we've realized is that there's not a lot of really good movies being told right now today. You know what I'm saying? It's like you go like, okay, we can leave now. There's not a lot of really good stories being told. And in fact, what we've noticed is that there's actually a lot of remakes and reboots. Why is that? There's a lot of remakes of movies, and there's actually reboots. If you remember, I remember some of the TV shows that are coming back out, like Roseanne, Murphy Brown, my man Tom Selleck's got, what is that? Magnum P.I., all reboots. Are we lacking in creativity or something? Or are we lacking an ability to tell a good story? I think there's some of that. Is that we're lacking an ability to tell a really good story. And I believe that God wants us to tell a story. I believe that the church in America here, God wants us to be telling a good story. And I think that sometimes we can get caught in reboots, in remakes. And we'll tell stories about what happened maybe 5 years ago. But God is a God that is moving. And He wants us to be a church in this community that is telling the story of His goodness. You believe that? I can see it. He wants us to be telling what God is doing inside and transforming inside of us all the time, because He's always moving. But are we moving with Him to tell a good story? Well, we want to be able to tell a good story. Well, this past spring, as we were getting ready for our 8th mission trip with the youth, which has been awesome, our 8th mission trip, we all got here together. It was on a Wednesday night right after youth group. And my students are all sitting around after youth, and we're just talking for hours. And it's fun listening to them to retell all the stories from our past mission trips. They're funny. I don't even have to say anything. I just sit and laugh. And they're life-changing. And they're fun. And they say, "We just can't wait for this to do, you know, to do this again." And so today I'm going to tell the story from this past summer's mission trip. And it's a really good one. We went to New York City. There's 15 of us. And we went and served at a place called NYSEM, which is the New York School of Urban Ministry. So throughout the week, we spent a week there. And we did homeless ministries, work with kids ministries, food truck ministries, outreach, you name it, pantries. We did it all. And it was a lot of fun, and it was amazing. And so I'm going to share that story with you through video. And I want to start here right now, getting ready to show a video. And so sit back, relax, and enjoy this story. And you're also going to hear from my students that are going to tell a little bit of a testimony about this trip. So let's cue it.
Walks to the table with an apron full of stains and asks, "Hey sir, what can I get for you today?" I try to be polite and make nice conversation, but the food's no good. She doesn't seem to even notice me here. Shoulders slumped to see a tear stained eyes, and back through the double swinging door, serving pies was not her goal in life. I leave a tip like I think Jesus would and smile, "Thanks a lot, have a nice day," and I'm on my way. Jesus, what would you do? Teach me how to love like you.
I got nothing of my own at all. But if I give what I have not got, Philistines and asks, "Hey, sir, what can I get for you today?"
I remember when I saw you and a glimpse of life appeared. Love reflected like a mirror, showing who I'm meant to be. When you give your heart, you don't leave me wanting for anything. Love has called my name like a separate.
Just to get fed, and it made me realize that we take for granted what we do have, and I think as Christians it's our job to give to others what Christ has given to us.
Hi, I'm Taryn. I think the most impactful part of our mission trip was either the homeless outreach or Hillsong United. I felt like the homeless outreach really did touch a lot of people's souls, and I don't know what they're doing now, but I do know at that time they waited for us to come back, and when we did, they appreciated it. And I know Hillsong United, when we went there, we didn't know what to expect, and once we got there, we all just let loose, and we let God talk to us through everyone that was, like, preaching. And when they worshiped, and just you see CCF just let go, and everyone has their hands in the air, and we're all just singing and just not really caring what anyone thinks, I thought that just really just kind of touched my heart, and I live by that every day of my life, just to be like I was in that moment. So, yeah.
One of the most impactful things for me was just all the people we got to work with, including, like, the tour guides and, like, the people who were helping guide us through the streets, and, like, the missionaries who worked there, and just how much of, like, a love they have for everybody up there, even when it's, like, hard for them, and even, like, all the stuff they've been able to see.
The most impactful part of New York City was just being able to witness the gospel to people. Just a lot of people were willing to talk. They just wanted someone to listen to them, and it was just really cool to see, because around the area we live in, a lot of people aren't as willing to talk. We could talk to people in the subway, the side of the streets, different homeless shelters we went to, and just it was just a really great experience to show how open people were to the gospel.
So the most impactful part for me about New York City was when we went to go feed and give out blankets and water to the homeless on the second night, and me and a few other girls just went over across the way because there was a group over there, and I started talking to this woman named Sonia. And she was telling me how her daughter Zoe was kidnapped when she was about 2 and how it's been a few years. And then she started asking us questions like, "How old are you? What's your name? Whatever, whatever." I said I was 16. And she said, "Oh, my daughter should be 16 now." And we just kind of started connecting. And it was just crazy how she felt so impacted by just what we were saying. We just kept praying with her. And then later that night, one of our leaders, Reggie, he gave me this piece of paper. And it was called the Declaration of Zoe, and it was just saying how we are deeply loved and we are protected and God is always with us. And it's just kind of crazy. And then later that night, we went back and I saw Sonia again and I just kept telling her and she was just so thankful and we just kept praying together and it was just awesome how you can see God working through these people.
Most impactful part of New York for me was really like when we got there, like really determining where my future was headed. Like God showed me a plan for my future, gave me an idea of what I want to do, and want to go to like NYU or Columbia Law School up in New York. So that's where I want to be, and that's where I feel He's calling me to be.
The most impactful part of the New York trip for me was this ministry we did on Saturday called the Father's Heart Ministry. Every Saturday they do a breakfast for the homeless people in the area. And that Saturday, there were over 660 people there. I worked the security in the line, so I was able to see pretty much everybody who came in. And the line went all the way around the block. It was incredible to see. People from all over, not just from church groups, helped out in the ministry. There was the UPS was there. There was multiple churches, including ours. I can't remember them all right now. But it was just incredible to see that the amount of impact they had on the community with that breakfast and the amount of people that showed up was just almost overwhelming, but they all handled it really well. It went really amazing, and I think we touched a lot of people.
Hi, church family. The impact Nyson had on me was building my confidence. I got to reach out and communicate with people and share Christ's love to people that I didn't think I could communicate with in the first place, and that really reassured me that I can do anything with God's love and His hand on me. So I love and miss you guys. Bye.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that awesome? Oh, amen, right? Thank you, guys. Thank you. I want to thank you, church, for your consistent prayer and your consistent commitment to help us financially through prayer, through just words of encouragement to get our kids to going to these things every single year. So I look forward to the next time. It's going to be good. I have one question for us today, and the question is what story are we telling? Or should I put it like, what life do we want to live that is worth telling? What kind of story are we telling today? Because God wants to create a good story. Now, I know for every single one of us here, we have a routine. We get up in the morning and we take our kids to school. Then, we go to work and wait in traffic for an hour and a half. And then you work all day. Then you come home and then you take your kids to practice. Then you come home and go to bed. And you just repeat, repeat, repeat. And I know that not all of our lives are just constantly living on like, hey, there's going to be a mission thing and all this kind of stuff. But yes, God is always moving in this world. And there's stories in between all of that routine where God is moving. And we want to be aware of what God is doing in our life and that we can be impacting other people with it. And so I do believe, however, that if for me, there's many times where I can live a life where, if I need a car, I go to the store and I go buy one. And then I come home, post it, say, hey, everybody, look at my car. Or, yeah, Caleb got to go on this awesome vacation. Went to London and it was amazing, and then I post it, and all that stuff is really good and it's all fine and it's a blessing from God, but it's a little bit incomplete. Because if I go through my whole life and it's all about telling the story of my glory, I do miss that God wants to use my gifts and my talents and everything in my life to tell the glory of His story. And so I do believe that Jesus gives us a recipe as to how to tell a great story. And He does this in Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to kind of break down the scriptures that we're looking at. And we're just going to kind of focus there. So it says this in verse 14. You are the light of the world. Jesus is talking to the followers, right? Yes, there's multitudes of people, but He's addressing those that are followers of Jesus. He says, you are, says us, that we are followers, that we are the light of the world. That means we are the hope of the world. Like the world is waiting on us, like through Jesus, we are the hope of the world. So we are the light of the world. The word light in Greek literally just means phos. It's where we get the word photo or photograph. So what Jesus is saying is that we are a photo image of Jesus to this world. How cool is that? And you guys remember the old Polaroid camera? You guys remember the Polaroid camera? It's actually becoming more in style again. People are actually using the Polaroid camera again. And you remember how it works? You take the picture and it rolls and then it kind of slides out and you get this white picture. And then you have to kind of shake it. It's a little fuzzy. You keep shaking and then finally the picture, comes a little bit more clear. But sometimes I wonder is if we are a clear picture of Jesus or we are still kind of fuzzy in our faith. Are we a clear picture of who Jesus is, Or is it still a little fuzzy? Because we know that light does two things. Light, one, does this. It brings truth to darkness. So if you are being a light, then you are bringing truth to the world that needs to see the truth of Jesus. There's a lot of misconceptions about Jesus, and we want to be a clear representation. So it brings light. And then number two, it also shines light in the dark areas of our life. If you came here today and you got some dark areas of your life that you've been struggling with, I want to give you the opportunity today to let Jesus in and bring light to those dark rooms and the dark things that are occurring in our life. So that means, here's the thing. Number one, our story starts with the light that is within us. So go ahead and write that down. Our story starts with the light that is within us. That's where it all starts. So imagine this analogy. If Jesus represents the sun, S-U-N, and we represent the moon, we know that the moon doesn't produce its own light. Actually, it's just a reflection of the sun. And that's why we see the moon from the earth, is because it reflects what the sun is giving it. And so we need to reflect to this world the light that we have inside of us. But you know that can happen. You know what happens ever so often? It's a thing called an eclipse. An eclipse can happen in a couple different ways. One, an eclipse can happen is like if the moon, and it's traveling around and it gets right in the line of the sun, and it blocks. It's in between the sun and the earth, and then all of a sudden it just blocks light to the earth. I know that in my life and in my testimony that God is so gracious, he's been good, but there's times in my life where I've blocked other people from seeing Jesus by my actions and attitude. Like they can't see Jesus because I'm blocking. I'm literally right in the middle of two different things. And we don't want to be blocking Jesus. We want to be reflecting his light into this world. And I know that when I was started dating, you know, my wife early ages, a long time ago, that, you know, being pure sometimes was tough. And I remember we would go to like church and I would hear from my pastor, and our pastor would have a word from us, and it would be about being pure. And all of a sudden I would block my wife, my girlfriend at the time, from hearing these things. I didn't want her to hear this. So I'd say, hey, you know, what are we doing after this? You know what I mean? I didn't want her to hear, of course, right? Because I'm enjoying this, right? But I didn't want God to speak to my wife, because what that would mean for me. And we can block our spouse, we can block our children, we can block people, the world, our coworkers, from seeing the light of Jesus if we're not reflecting him. Have you ever blocked somebody in your phone? Yeah, I have. Anyway, sometimes you've got to unblock God to be able to experience what God has for your life. And then an eclipse also happens in this way. It's when you got the earth and you got the moon over here, and then the earth is sitting right in between us, blocking the light that we need. And I wonder sometimes, and I know in my own life, that the earth has blocked my perspective of what God wants to do. The earth was like right in between. I couldn't get quite the light because I was so focused on the worries and the problems of the world. I didn't really focus on Jesus. And I know that God, sometimes if you're here today and you got the world that's blocking you and you're blocking your kids and you're just blocking truth out of your life, today's an opportunity to get out of the way. Today's an opportunity to be a reflector. Today's an opportunity for you to say, you know what, I'm going to make a decision and I'm going to be a light that reflects Jesus. Because that's what we got to be. So number one, the story starts with inside of us. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light of the light. So point number two is that we are light worth following. Check this out. A lot of people, we allow a lot of people in our culture today to put value on us. They do. Oh, you're not very good at this. Oh, you're not talented enough. Or you're not good enough. Or at school, you're not popular enough, and you're not this or that, you're not smart enough. And so they like to put a value on you, but I'm telling you today that your story is worth following. If Jesus has saved you from sin, that is Jesus working inside your heart. He is transforming your mind. He is transforming your life. He's doing this whole thing of sanctification, and your story is worth telling. So a couple of misconceptions that we have to get past is, one, we have to be perfect. I'm not perfect. We don't have to be perfect to tell a good story. We have to just follow, start following daily with Jesus. Number two is, you don't have to have a jacked up testimony to tell the story of what God is doing. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes we compare our story to somebody else's, like, oh, their story is so much crazier than mine. It's like, no. If he has saved you, that's a story. That is a story. And Jesus says, you're worth following. Everybody in here, you are valued. God loves you. Guess what? The work he's doing in here, he's going to complete someday. Amen. He's not finished with you. He is consistent with you. He loves you. He's constantly coming to you. So guess what? Even if you made that mistake yesterday, this morning, whatever it was, that God's still coming after you. God is still coming after you, and you are somebody worth following if you're daily following Jesus. And then the last thing about being a misconception is that we, where do I have here? I missed my notes. Okay, that we're not good enough. We are always good enough. We think that we can fall and all these kind of things, and that, oh, God's never going to be able to use me. But we can be used by God. And God says that you are a story worth following. And so that brings us to verse 14. Verse 14, it says, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people of light put their lamp under a bowl. You are a light that puts it out there. You can't be hidden. So here's what Jesus is talking about, this whole city idea. Is that there's a city, and Jesus is speaking in the town, and everybody's listening and or on the hillside there, and then there's a city overlooking. And he uses this analogy. He's like, yeah, you see that city? You can see it during the daylight because it's big. And at night, you can see it because the lights are bright. When we were traveling down 95, we could see New York City way off in the distance because it's so large. It's huge. And you can also see it at night. Like if you've ever been to Times Square, you see all the lights and you see all the stuff that's going on. It's pretty amazing. There's 8 million people there and there's just all over the place. But if you look down, it's easy to see that there's a lot of need in that city. You can see the needs of that city, but it's also easy to ignore the needs of that city. One day we were hanging out with a guy named Marvin. Marvin was this awesome guy, and he couldn't get away from him. The biggest need is he just wanted somebody to sit and talk with him, and he was a talker. This guy worked at the World Trade Center. He was a librarian, a very smart guy, now homeless, but he just wanted us to sit and talk with him, and so we spent an hour talking to him one night. We couldn't even get rid of him, but he loves Jesus, very smart guy, but he just needs that. Here in Warrenton, there's a lot of needs that are way overlooked and sometimes even ignored. Sometimes we think that because we have a lot of money that nobody needs anything, but there's a lot of spiritual darkness in our community. And we need people that are of light that are willing to go to these places and not ignore what God is wanting us to do. And so he's calling us to do these things. And I remember one night when Joey was frantically coming through the streets because he saw somebody that OD'd. And so he's over there, he's got his hand, he's praying for him, and I kind of catch up. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm looking for somebody to help this guy medically. And so we find somebody. There's needs all around us. Are we willing to open our eyes and see the needs and feel those needs in our life? So we put it on a stand. Verse 15, instead they put it on a stand. They don't hide it. They put it on a stand. You know the reasons why we hide it? Here's a couple of them. One, fear. We fear people. We fear what people might think. We fear that we can't do these things. You heard what Hannah said in the testimony, right? She said, I didn't think I could do these things, but God showed me confidence that with strength in Jesus, that we can talk to anybody about Jesus. How cool is that? These are testimonies for us to hear, to be encouraged by. You heard Joey say that I didn't think people could hear the gospel or they're closed-minded to the gospel, but I realized that going there, that people were willing to hear the gospel. How awesome is that? You heard Taryn talk about, you know, being in church and worshiping and just letting loose. Just letting it go because she wasn't worried about what other people think. Sometimes in our culture, we worry and we elevate other people's opinion over Jesus's opinion. We can elevate other people's worry over what Jesus is worried about. And then when we worship, we're just like, I ain't gonna do that. We go to church, I ain't gonna go to work, I'm not gonna share. I'm not gonna do that. And so we can hide our faith under a basket. And in this area, I know there's a lot of people that I talk to. I'm like, what do you do for a career? What do you do for a career? I can't tell you. Okay, well, would you follow Jesus? I can't tell you. We don't want to have any undercover agents in our faith. You know what I mean? I get you can't tell me what you do in a job, but please tell me that you actually can follow Jesus. And so these things do matter. These things do matter. And so we put it on a stand. So number three, point number three is that we own our story. So what God was doing is that he's telling us, hey, listen, the work that I am doing inside of your life, this is what I'm doing. And now here's your responsibility, is that we own our story. That is a response to the transformational work of God and what he's doing in our life, is that we own what God has given us. We own our faith, like our ministry in the youth, the reason why it's grown and we've seen so many salvations. A couple weeks ago, we got to baptize 9 of our middle and high school students. How awesome was that? It's because we have students that are saying, you know what, this summer I'm going to come serve with you. I'm going to come serve and I'm going to own these things. And I'm going to own coming here and worshiping. I'm going to own my friends. My friends at school need to hear about my faith. And so I'm going to bring them in. And so we have students that own their own faith. And I remember about owning our faith one night. And it was pretty cool. Is that we went to this park. We drove about 45 minutes away. We went to a park. Everybody was in the van. We dropped off in this big park outside of Manhattan where a lot of people are. And what we did is we had all of our students have blankets. They had water. They had toiletries and some tracks. And what they were going to be doing is we were sending them out by like 2s and 3s throughout the park. And it's at night. And I'm kind of following a couple of my students. And I see a couple of my, 3 of my girls. And they go and they kind of sit next to this guy on a bench. And they're sitting there and I'm kind of hanging back. And I was trying to take some pictures at a distance. I know they said, please don't take too many pictures of stuff going on. But I was trying to capture a couple of these things. And there's a picture of them taking, hanging out with this guy. And they pray for him. And they get up and I kind of intersect and walk with them. And they're like, we're hungry. Can we go get something to eat? So we're heading to McDonald's right across the street. And we go over there and we're pulling out our money. We're getting ready to like order. And I turn around and that same guy follows us into the restaurant. He's following us and he's so happy. There's a smile on his face. He is so excited and he walks up to us. He said, thank you guys so much for praying for me. His wife had just passed. He wasn't homeless, but he just wanted to like say, thank you so much that we have these young kids that are praying for other people. And he gave the girls a hug and he said, can I buy them dinner? And so pulled out money and he bought them dinner and he left with something that our girls gave him. They own their faith. So they were owning their faith and basically they were saying that I want to be somebody worth following. So owning your faith is being somebody worth following. This guy has followed something worth following. So we got to take some ownership in our life. So where are the areas that we can take some ownership? Is one, we can take some ownership of the talents that God has given us, our gifts that he's given us. We can take ownership of our faith. We can take ownership of our worship. We can take ownership of our attitude. Now, this is a big one that God is always working on me with. And it's a big one that I always have to work on my wife with, trying to change her attitude. Just kidding. But he is always working on my attitude. And the thing is that people are always watching. People are watching and they take notice. You say you're a believer and then we go to work. And I know we might have like an hour and a half. You got an hour and a half drive one way to work. Oh my gosh. Be thankful that God has given you a job. And I get it. That if you get there, like traffic puts me in a really bad mood. But if you get there and your attitude is always like, man, this is terrible. This is terrible. This is terrible. Then it's confusing. It's a fuzzy picture of who Jesus is in our life. Our attitude can lead other people to Christ, but our attitude can also hinder people from seeing Jesus. Yes, there's a lot of bad stories going on, but we can tell a good story with our actions and our attitude, and so we have to own our faith. So here's a couple things that we can do practically as well, is that we can own how we love other people. We can own how we love and care for other people. We can own how we talk, how we say things. We can own, like, our language. We can own the fact that, you know what, like, if we complain all the time, then people are going to take notice of complaining all the time. But if we own how good God is in our life, and we can share every little day that, man, maybe there was traffic, but, man, what he's doing inside of me is still better than that traffic. So we can own these little things, and one of the areas that we can own is what we put out there on social media. Be somebody worth following. If you got 100 friends or 5 friends or 1 million friends, be somebody worth following. We all want to be somebody worth following. And so when we take ownership of our faith, the next thing that God wants to do is right here. And it says 15, and it says, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others. So here's point number 4. You say this is like, where are my people? Where are my people? So if you're already like taking ownership of your faith and God is working on your heart and he's doing all this work and we take ownership and say, okay, God, I'm ready. Then you start praying to God. You say, God, where are my people? Where are my people you are calling me to? Well, first off, it tells us in Scripture. It says that let everyone in the house. So first off, our light starts with the house, our house. It can represent our house, like the people that we live with. Our family members need to see our light. I grew up as a pastor's kid, so that just means that my house is more jacked up than yours. And so I saw the good, the bad, the ugly at times, but thankfully the more good. And God was always good. But light starts in our house and how we lead our family. And I know sometimes if we've messed up that kind of thing, ask God for forgiveness and slowly let him build that inside of you. But it starts one inside the family. How do we disciple? How do we show light? How do we show truth to those that we are closest to? That is your number one ministry before here. Your number one ministry is your wife, your husband, your kids. That's your number one ministry. It says in the house. Now the house shines good, you know, if there's light here. And also here's the house too, that you can serve here in the house. This is part of the house. Your light is here. And if we're like flashlights, this is good. We're all kind of bright in here. But you know where light works best? Flashlight works best? Outside at night, right? It shines best at night. And so here's part two. So we start with us in the house. And then second, it says in the same way, let your shine before others. Well, who are the others? Who are Jesus's others? Jesus didn't just hang out with disciples. He hung out with sinners. He hung out with tax collectors. He hung out with fishermen. He hung out with all these people. And actually, they didn't like it, the fact that he was hanging out with these people. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees loved to block Jesus. They didn't want to reflect what God was doing. They wanted to block Jesus from everybody. But our light shines to those that need it the most. My wife and I, we do a thing called community dinner every Monday night. And this is like where God is directing our light. And you start to pray, say, God, okay, now that I'm owning my faith, like, where do you want me to direct my light? Who do you want me to shine my light on? And guess what? God is going to direct. And don't be surprised that God puts the annoying person in your life. Don't be surprised if God puts the difficult person in your life. When you ask to be used, God is going to use you to do something great through him. So if you got that annoying neighbor that stays up all night and their dog barks all night long, like, it's going to take, I know, it's my problems, but it's going to take some time to be a light into that community. And so we do a thing called community dinner every Monday night. And it's with a bunch of friends that you may have gone to church. They're atheists. They're agnostic. They have a lot of questions about Christianity. Won't come here, but they always want us to go there. They're always inviting us to be with them. And so we spend a lot of time with a big group of them all the time. We were with them last night, I think. And we're always spending time with these people doing a community lunch. So we have to be a light out there. It's easy to be a light in here, and it's sometimes difficult, but we can be a light at our home, but sometimes it's more difficult to be a light out there. The devil likes to do something in our life. He likes to make us think that I'm just going to push everybody outside the closet and put Jesus inside the closet and you can't talk. Well, what we should be saying is like, okay, you bring everybody outside the closet. We're going to shine light to everybody that came out of that closet. We're going to be that light. We're not going to come inside and just shut the doors. We don't need to live in fear. We don't need to live in fear. We serve a good God, and his spirit wants to do some great things. You're going to hear about what he's doing here soon in another country. So where are my people? God will always direct us to who our people are. Sometimes your people are your neighbors. Sometimes your people are the people that you work with. Those are your people. As you heard Kyle use a testimony, one day God directed us to his people. He sent us to this the Father's House Ministry, where we serve 660 homeless people in an hour and a half. That's a lot of homeless people in an hour and a half. And I worked the security line with Kyle and Joey. And so basically it was one long line wrapped around blocks and blocks and blocks. And so we literally passed every single person. Every single person passed us. We got to see every single person. We had students that were inside, the servant. I mean, that is chaos. You see, there's a great need. God will direct you to his people. But the challenge sometimes is, are we willing to go? Are we willing for God to do something different? Sometimes we want to retell and reboot the stories that God has done in the past, but we have to be willing to change our schedules. We have to be willing to do different things. We got to be willing to change the comfort, because we're going to battle comfort and we're going to battle, like, you know, control. When God wants to call us to go do something great, he's like, we got to get past these. And I know that for me, I don't like I like being in control. You like being in control. I like being, you know, I like the comfort that I have. But when God said, I want you to go out there, listen, people aren't going to come in here. We have to go out there and be interacting with them where they are at. Amen? Amen? So where are my people? We got to be willing to go the places where God is calling us. You might remember where God completely intercepted. The Bible says the Holy Spirit intercepted Paul and said, you're going to stop going here and you're going to go over to Macedonia. I got big plans for you. We got to be willing to do that. One day we were on, I think it was a Saturday morning, we all piled into the van and we're driving. And, you know, driving through New York is pretty tough. It takes us about 45 minutes to get where we're about to go. And we're with our missionary. And we're supposed to go to this kind of like a halfway house or a house that, holds like split families. And they have kids there and they do mission food and all that kind of stuff. A place where they can stay. And we're scheduled to go serve there and put on like a VBS for them. Well, as we get there, we knock on the door and they said, we don't have you scheduled until next week sometime. Well, we're not even there. And so obviously my frustration is already like, wait, we're paying you guys to do this. Like, come on, like we're missing out on an experience to go serve at this place. And I'm frustrated. But God's not always worried about my frustration. He wants me to trust him. And so they say we can't go. And the missionary was like, hey, I know a park. And so we go over to a park. And there, as you saw in that video, there's a lot of kids in that park. And we put on a VBS out there, face paintings going on, balloons are happening, games are happening, worship happening. You see Kyle teaching them a Bible lesson in the middle of a park. God is good. He will redirect our mission at times. Sometimes if that door is closed, he's saying, I want you to follow me over here. He already had those plans and he's not worried about what I think and my preferences and my plans. Are we willing to go those areas? Are we willing to do those things to reach lost people? Are we willing to do things that haven't been done before and what no other church is doing? Because that's where faith comes in, is that we got to trust God that when he sends us to the people that he's calling every single one of us to, that we are willing to do that. We got to be willing to do that. And so that leads us up here to verse 16, and it says, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Point number five is your story leads others to honor Jesus. The Greek word for works and deeds is attractive. That means that your words are attractive. Your actions are attractive. They attract people. And the word glory or honor just means glory. And that's where we get the story of his glory. So we are called to honor God. Our works and our actions are called to like be attractive. So people see that there's something different in us and that they can worship and honor God too. So point number five is your story leads others to honor God. Are we willing to honor God? Are we willing to tell that story? This world needs to see a light that is different than what they're seeing out there. The first night that we were in New York City, our missionary, he takes us to a subway with a guitar. And he says, you're going to lead worship. We led worship on a subway. How crazy is that? I was thinking, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. This is going to be so different. New Yorkers are going to think we're weird, but New Yorkers are weird. So it didn't matter. So we led worship, and know what happened when we were leading worship? People started gathering, getting closer. When there's something different about you and us, the people want to inspect that. It's attractive. There's something different. That's an opportunity that we get to. The lady was on that train and she said, I just got a brand new job. I just started this job and this is so good to be able to worship God. I'm just coming back from it and I get to worship with you guys. Just stranger. Other strangers are drawing in to listen to us worship. We were on Staten Island in the ferry and we're just waiting on there and we got Hannah's over there playing a guitar and people are drawing in. People are listening in. This world is listening. They're watching. Are we willing to tell the story of us or do we want to tell the story of God's glory? The life and the light of which he has given us. As we close here, band, come on up here and we'll finish out. I just want to pray for us today. Because today we definitely have some decisions to make. The decision you make today will determine the story you tell tomorrow. Is it the story of our glory or is it the story of Jesus' glory? You are worth telling a story to. Or you are worth owning it. And this world needs to see the hope reflected off of you. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to open this up a little bit of time for you. Then I'll have the ushers come forward. But every eye is, you know, closed, every head's bowed. And let's just pray. I want to pray for a couple things here this morning. Today, if you're here and you're experiencing a spiritual eclipse in your life and you just don't feel, you can't see the light, and maybe even you're blocking some light and some truth, and you just want Jesus. You just want Jesus to, like, shine life in your light right now. If you just want him to shine some truth into your life right now, just raise your hand, just right where you're at. Just raise your hand if you're here this morning. Amen. 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 You're just dry and you just need to see some truth and some light in the midst of all this confusion and what's going on. You just need Jesus to reveal some things. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Amen. I got you. And if you're here today, the second group that I'm going to pray for, you just want some confidence. You want some courage. And you know some people in your family doesn't know Jesus. You know some people in your neighborhood that doesn't know Jesus, but yet you may be a little bit afraid. And I want to pour some courage into you today that God will let you be a light. Just raise your hand today if you want to be that light to some people. Amen. 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 And if you're here this morning, amen. And if you don't know Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to get to know Jesus as your personal Savior. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to accept him this morning, if you're here, and I know majority of you guys are believers, but if you've never just followed Jesus, you know, you've been attending church, but you've never just said, you know, Jesus, I'm going to follow you because I believe the light that you're going to put in me and the light that's going to shine to others. Just go ahead and raise your hand this morning. If there's anybody that wants to just, amen. Amen. You just want to accept Jesus this morning as your personal Savior. Don't leave here. Make that decision. Amen. Let me pray. I got three different prayers. The first prayer, our Heavenly Father, I pray for the people that just raised their hand this morning. And I pray, Father, right now, that those that are just blocked by either the world or just blocked by themselves and they can't see your light, Father, today I just pray over them and that you shine light into their heart right now, that you restore hope, that you give them a fresh vision of who you are. So, Father, I pray for everybody that's in here today that prayed that prayer, that you come close to them, reveal yourself with grace and love. Father, the reason why I follow you is because somebody owned their faith and they shared it with me. And they shared the grace and the love and the acceptance of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, help them right now. And I pray for the second group tonight that, Father, that you give them a bold confidence to not worry about always what the world thinks, to not have fear, but give them confidence, Father, to shine your love and your light into their work, to the school, to their neighbors, to their family right now, Lord. I pray that you open up the hearts that they will get to see who Jesus Christ is. I pray that repentance happens and people come and follow you with their life. So I pray that, Father, that they are disciples of you and that they take that step of discipleship. Give them confidence and courage, Father, to follow you even when they don't know the outcome that we consistently live out. It's not our job to change people, but it's our job to be consistent, following you and still reaching people. So, Father, I just pray that spirit over everybody here, that when we go public, Father, it's because of a purpose, that we have light and we want to share it with somebody else. So let's pass on our light. So, Father, just give them courage and equip them, Father, with your love. They don't have to know everything. With your grace, they don't have to, like, have their life all together. But if they're following you, you said that you will take care of the rest. So, Father, help us to own this group, to own their faith right now and let them shine to the people that you've called them to shine it to. And then, Father, today, if you're here, and if you're here today and just say this, repeat after me, say, Father, the Bible tells us that if I believe in my heart that you are the Son and I speak these words, that you will come into my life. And so today, Father, I pray for those that have received salvation today. You can repeat after me, Father, I believe that you are the Son. I believe that you came and you died for my sins. And I believe that if I acknowledge that, you can come into my life and take away my sins, that I can live for eternity with you. And so, Father, I just pray that prayer for for everybody that has accepted Jesus as their personal Savior today. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.